Speaking is a simple task, or so it seems, depending, of course, upon the weather, as some of you may have noticed recently. Conditions can change your ability to walk, can they not? Conditions can reveal weaknesses that you have when you're walking. It will reveal to you that there are needs there that maybe don't always show up, but in certain situations they show up. And that is so true physically, but that is also true, very true, spiritually. And sometimes we can feel stuck on the wrong path, with the wrong attitude. I want to talk to you today about this idea of how well are you walking? Because we have been given a path by the Savior. He has provided for us choices and challenges to trust Him with. And you know, it's choice, not chance, that determines the direction of your life. It determines your destiny. And so we saw here in Ephesians chapter 4 how he had told us how to work together as a team over the last few weeks. He now moves into talking about, okay, the next step in the path is how are you walking not just in church, but how do you walk out in the community? How do you walk in these other relationships? And so we want to look at this. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, I want to show you some steps that can trip you, and some steps that can bless you, things that will build you up. And he gives us some information. And again, of course, you know, when he writes one letter like this, it always feels different to continually interrupt him, you know, because it's a great thing. Take the time to actually sit down and read it all the way through sometime in one setting. But I think for our benefit, it's good to take it in pieces. So he says to them, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they've become calloused and have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Indeed, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." He then goes on and begins to describe four or five characteristics of what this walk will look like, and Lord willing, we'll be moving there next week. He says, "Now this I say and affirm together in the Lord." In essence, he's saying, now I'm insisting on this. This is from the Lord. You're not to walk that way you used to walk anymore. You know, when we come to the Bible, it's an interesting thing, is your Bible is not an advice section. This is not a suggestive blog from God, all right? This is an authoritative revelation, okay? It's something not just that we study, it's something that we're given to obey in response to Him, because the Word of God reveals the will of God to the child of God, right? So when we come to it, there has to be that submitted attitude. So he's affirming that. He says, "So I tell you, you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk." And by saying Gentiles, he's just using a general term here. He's because the church in Ephesus, in all likelihood, was probably mostly Gentile. But he's saying that you don't walk like the world, that you have a behavior that's different than those on the outside. All right? And so there's a principle here when he talks to us and says, I want you to quit walking like the world. And so he gives us this principle. It says that walking like the world is unacceptable to the one who knows Christ. If you know Christ, you won't walk this way any longer. And so, even as we walk in grace, I want you to understand that there is a way a believer should not walk. Sometimes when I talk to people, I think grace just means anything goes. That is not the revelation of the Word of God. Read Romans 6. He goes into that quite clearly. But that's how some people think. And so he's saying it again here in Ephesians, that you don't walk like those. Jesus calls us to follow him. Following involves submission to his path. And his path is not equal to our path. It will always be different than the choice that you would naturally make in and of your own accord. So, are you doing your own thing? Are you committed to learning his path? All right? So he says, what is this way we're not supposed to be doing? Well, you don't walk in the futility of their mind. There was a void emptiness there. He says, I don't want you to walk in a way that's just, it doesn't have purpose. It doesn't have a plan. My purpose is that you would come to a spot where it's not empty. We live in a culture that honors the idea of an open mind. But unfortunately, the definition of the culture for open is just open, let anything flow through. You are to open your mind to the truth, okay? And so he's saying, I don't want you to walk this way, so there is a call for us to realize that there's a way you shouldn't walk, and therefore to turn away from that way and to walk in the way you should walk. So you need to both realize this and then repent. There'll be a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction by faith choice, not by rule, but by relationship. And we're going to talk just a little bit more about that, but your mind directs the way you walk. Now, some of us who have begun to deal with the weakenings of age have realized now that what used to be subconscious behavior now has to be deliberate. I hear a little chuckle of identification out there, isn't that right? Is that you have to think through stuff and you just can't. Friends, the deliberateness of the Christian walk is intentional. Because the idea is that you're listening to him. You know, if you were seeing him physically in front of you, following Jesus would be easy, or so we think. But if you read the Gospels, you'll see it wasn't always easy for them either. All right? But there has to be a faith choice. And so I have to deliberately take steps in my life that will align myself with him. And so there's a realizing, there's a repenting, all right? And so he says, don't have this futility. This world is darkened in their understanding. More simply put, they don't get it. And sometimes when you talk to people, haven't you had that experience, and somebody says, oh, you are just so weird. You know, that's just so weird that you would think that way. And you're sitting there just going, yeah, well, there's more than one person that could be called that in this conversation. But of course, you're holding that back within your spirit. Yeah, that darkened understanding, things that the believer will value make a little value to the world. In fact, they're values that are mocked by the world. Because they don't get it. So there's a darkened understanding. But when you have a darkened understanding, because it's been excluded from the life of God, that's what the directions come from. Friends, this will give you peace in the present turmoil of this world, if you'll understand this. This is a spiritual revelation to what we're dealing with. Darkened understanding acts very, very inconsistently. And you'll see it and go, how can they say that? How can they do that? Well, darkened understanding. It's a dark room. They don't see what they don't see. And so understand that the way the world thinks directs the way the world walks. Okay? So when you have this darkened understanding, then that's going to motivate the choices about how you do business. It's going to motivate the way you do relationships. It's going to motivate the way you manage your own behavior. All right? So what are the questions we need to be asking ourselves? What do I believe? What am I thinking? Because he's saying, I don't want you to keep walking this way any longer. All right? And so he says there's this perspective, this futile, darkened, excluded, and notice the next complimentary word, ignorant. It means they don't even understand these things about God. You and I operate, if your faith is in Christ, I trust this, that you operate with the understanding that there's a God who made this world. Amen? So you are a created person. As a created person, that automatically gives you purpose. And if I'm created with purpose, then that automatically gives me direction. Not only that, the Creator has revealed himself as one who is loving, who has an eternal purpose, and that gives my life direction. But if you think the world is here by accident, can you imagine the different mindset where you're trying to create meaning for your world? And so they look at you and go, man, you are an arrogant such and such. I got a revelation here that I'm working off of. They don't have that. And so this futility in the mind will never lead to a fulfilled life. It's important for you to understand, is if you don't have God's mindset, you won't walk God's way. If you don't walk God's way, you're not going to find the fulfillment that God's designed you to have. He made you with a purpose. And we all know you can use tools for any purpose you want. But some of you, particularly you guys, you know what I'm talking about here, you have used screwdrivers for all sorts of tool usage. And then later you come back to that and it doesn't work for its original purpose very well anymore because it's got this little L in it, you know. It was a great leverage tool, but that wasn't what it was designed for. And when we use our bodies contrary to his purposes, it gets bent and it won't lead to fulfillment. It doesn't bring satisfaction. So why don't you think about this? It may be helpful to use this term, inventory. You ever done inventory? Worked retail a lot of years. Inventory was never anybody's favorite assignment, okay? Particularly in the grocery business, because every single individual item in that store had to be counted, including everything in that warehouse. What were you doing? You were wanting to assess what was there to what? To determine value. Isn't that right? Do you know what's going on up here? Have you taken some time to reflect on why is it that these behaviors are coming out of my life if I say this value system is here? He says these things ought not to be happening. Well, if it's happening, because we do know that does happen in our lives, then that's reflecting back to you. There's a value directing you contrary to his value. Am I making any sense here? So I do inventory to say, what is it that keeps making me react this way? In marriage, there's occasional maturing opportunities. Have any of you noticed that are married? And things will happen in a conversation. It happened in our household the other day. I don't know why it always seems like it happens to me rather than to her. But, you know, I came home and I drove home, so I was there quite quickly, and I really wasn't there yet, if you know what I mean. And I was taking some stuff for lunch and was putting it into the microwave, And my wife was proceeding to ask me a bunch of questions, which I knew no answers to. And in my perception, if she would have thought about it, she would have known that I did not know the answers to the questions that she was asking, so I don't appreciate being asked questions I don't know the answers to. Are there any men that can relate to what I'm talking about here? Okay, why do women ask you that kind of stuff? Okay. But the interesting thing was, is what comes out of my mouth was not honoring to my wife. And in that place, it's revealing there's a value conflict here. See, so when I see inconsistencies of what comes out of my mouth, it's saying, hey, there's something that needs to be dealt with. Well, we're going to get there at the end of this chapter. One of the awesome verses on your mouth in all the Bibles at the end of this chapter. But this idea of coming to say, I have to have a different value system, because if I don't, I will embrace a world's value systems. Now, that is not a political view thing here. That is not just a preference issue here. This is a serious issue to God that you would not be like this. In fact, James, who I like so well for his subtleties, in James chapter 4, verse 4, has given us a perspective. I'd like you to read this perspective with me. Notice all of his definitions and terms. Very complimentary. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I would encourage you to think on that verse this week. Just put a little circle. I think it's there in your reference notes. Put a little circle on that and say, you know what? You have read that verse before, true? Most of you heard that verse before. You think about that verse, what that's saying. That's a sobering thought. He says, adulteresses, that's not very complimentary. He's saying you're being immoral. You're being unfaithful in your devotion. He says, do you not understand that if you're trying to embrace the world's value system, the world's identity, the world's approval, he does not say it's going to make it difficult. He says you will be hostile back to God. What I saw in that conversation of questions I just referred to in my own fleshly life, there was a hostility back towards my wife. What's with that? That woman is my best friend. That woman is my devoted partner. This woman is my life. And yet there's a hostility coming towards her. An issue. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a value in conflict there. And so he says, you want to be a friend of the world? You can do that. But understand where you're voting. Well, understand how you're aligning yourself. You're going to be an enemy of God. All right? So this issue, he says, then leads to changes. So we live by the values and practices that are in your inventory. It's what's inside of you. It'd be nice if you could just say, hey, well, I got it all right here. It's in my Bible. Have you ever noticed that you can have it right here and you can know exactly what it says and it doesn't show up right here? Okay, so not dealing with these values causes a reasoning that actually resists God. As he says, it's opposed to, it's hostile to. So sometimes you're saying, well, I just want to do this, God. Well, but you really don't. There's something inside of you that's actually opposing that. And he goes on to talk about this other aspect, and this is something that our culture has developed, and I could spend quite a bit of time here, but we won't. I promise. But we need to read it. He says, having become, verse 19, calloused, they've given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. See, you harden your heart to the word of God, to the will of God, you become a calloused person. Calloused means away from pain. You don't feel pain anymore. You don't feel conviction about this. Some people feel so good. Boy, my conscience doesn't bother me about this anymore. That's a bad sign. If you're into it so far that you no longer are irritated by that problem, friends, you become callous to the Spirit of God. You become callous to the Word of God. He says, and we have a culture that's not only marched for the right to promote their sin, we have a culture that's legalizing sins. You know, we did so well with the wonderful drug called alcohol that now we had to legalize marijuana because we managed the first one so well. This one we'll do well with as well, right? We can do this, and you can make rules about any behavior you want and then walk into that with a callousness that says, it's legal. But we're not asking about what's legal. We're asking what's godly. What is his intention for us, right? Because the pursuit of sensuality is an exercise in futility. This is an interesting thing. If you go after feeling good and you live to feel good, you won't feel good. Check it out. Read it in the book of Ecclesiastes. He'll tell you. You don't find, he says, vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. And that was a guy that had it all. I always have found encouragement with that. I don't have to be that rich. Somebody else was already that rich for me, showed me it won't make you happy. But you don't have to read too far in your papers to realize that people who have so much still aren't happy. There's not a satisfaction in the pursuit of flesh. Because flesh always wants more. Isn't that right? There's just this hunger for more, and you go after it. You know, we had a wonderful potluck yesterday. You know what potlucks are? An invitation to gluttony. I'm just saying that. I don't want some poor lady going home offended because nobody ate her dish. You know, so out of the graciousness of my heart, I help myself. But you know, you can fill up on all this stuff and you can, and I don't waste time on salad. There's real food here on the table. So, but, you know, I love my salads, but not at a potluck. There's not room on a plate for salad on a potluck. You got to get the real stuff. But you know what I'm talking about? Have you not indulged yourself and you went back and indulged yourself again and you went home and you felt so good about yourself for indulging yourself, right? No, it leads to pain, it leads to guilt, it leads to frustration. And what were you doing? You were indulging your pleasure. I mean, food is one of those places that we should enjoy our food. That's a biblical thing. Moderation, moderation, moderation. Believer, you are called to not be a person who walks like the world. So what are you called to? Look at what he says. You did not learn Christ in this way. Indeed, you have heard from him and been taught in him just as truth is in Jesus. Amen? Truth is in Jesus. If you get nothing else that I say today, I hope you'd hear that truth is in Jesus. There's an answer there for you. There's an answer there for you. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on that new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Because you did not learn Christ by pursuing calloused sensuality. Remember, has it been so long that you've forgotten where you came from? Can you remember when you didn't have the peace of God? Can you remember when you didn't have the purpose of Christ? He says, you didn't learn Christ this way. I want you to learn this. I want you to be renewed this way. Why? Because you have to think different of Christ to walk different with Christ. You follow me there? You have to think different of Christ to walk different with Christ. There are things you know of Christ, but it does not mean that you are thinking it. It does not mean that you are trusting it. All right, just because you're aware of it, you know. Guys can have chains in the trunk, but that doesn't mean they stop and put them on. All right? I can do this. No problem. There's a resource there. You're just not trusting it. I said, so we're not saying, do you have Christ? It's saying, are you a person who's learning? He actually says here, you did not learn Christ. It does not say learn of Christ, learn about Christ. He says learn Christ. And by that, there's a relational invitation for you. He says, I want you to know him. Because a lot of people know about him. You can sit in church and learn more about Christ every week and still not learn Christ. That is a relational response to a person, not an understanding about information. Okay? And so we're in relationship with a person. Right? And so we're learning facts. Okay, we are. What to base our faith upon. So we will step into relationship of trust. And so there is a renewing that needs to take place, and then there's a responding. So you renew your mind, and then you respond to what your mind's been renewed to. All right? But I'm here to tell you that you won't think differently of Christ unless you spend time with Christ. And I don't know why for me it is such a challenge, but I find that it takes a lot of time with Christ for this flesh to line up. And I work all week, not just lining up the word for you, but lining me up with the word so that I can give the word to you in a way that you'll hear him. But it gets frustrating to me, just to be straight with you, to realize that if I skip a day with Jesus in the morning, if I skip my God time, I bet you my family could give it to you without ever knowing what I was doing. That they can tell that my flesh starts showing up. That if I don't spend time with Christ, his values are not present. They're not predominant in my life. They are not the extreme value in my life. And then my flesh will say, I want this, and I'll respond fleshy. Christ is learned. So you spend time in the Word. If you are not much of a reader, then you read the Gospel of John. If you're not much of a reader, then just at least expose yourself to the New Testament. Just begin taking yourself into some of this, and you don't have to be able to read to learn the Word of God. Do you know that? It can be recited to you over your phone, over a CD. It's in visual form now. Friends, there's a lot of ways that you can get the word into you if you get off of Facebook long enough to spend some face-to-face time with the one you ought to be with. There, you can be renewed. And you've noticed how happy you always feel when you get off of Facebook anyway. Have you noticed that, how it always makes you feel better when you get off of that experience? Just saying, I know I'm meddling. Listen, truth is in Jesus, all right? And so Jesus is speaking to you. When I speak, Christ speaks here, all right? And people say, how did you know that? I didn't know that he knew that. He spoke to you about that. That's him speaking. Christ said it this way in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. He put it quite clear in the invitation to his promise about how he wanted us to live. He said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. What happens? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's times in your mind you won't believe those truths. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is a take that promise, meditate on that, and say, am I really believing that his yoke is easy, his burden is light? Because we can get an attitude about the will of God. This is so hard to do. This is so frustrating. This is so, I have to renew my mind. He says, come. He says, take. He says, learn. He says, what? Find rest. So I have to step into that process to get there. All right? Listen. What does he say? Something's going to happen when you do that. Look back with me. So I'm going to be taught in him, because truth is in Jesus. That's what disciples do. Disciples learn. That's what a disciple means. You're a learner. You're a student. All right? That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. I've told you this before. I'll tell you it again, because I keep reminding myself, because it's important to know. Your flesh is never going to get any better on this planet. Your spirit can be made stronger. Quit thinking you are going to reform your flesh by some rule, some regulation, some greater discipline. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nada. That's what Jesus said. Your flesh won't get better. Don't expect it to be better. Deal with that. So there's things that you have to keep laying aside. And so a reception of truth is going to lead to a rejection of deception. If you receive the truth of the Word of God, then there's something else that needs to be laid aside. If you look in inventory, you'll find there's stuff that needs to go. One of my jobs as a receiver for Lucky Stores, I had a lot of fun back in the warehouse and unloading trucks, but one of my jobs was to throw things away. And the management over me went over this issue. They said, now listen, the boss will come back here and he'll tell you this, and you need to make him happy. That is your job. But when he's gone, we have to make this stuff go away. Okay? You know, it's kind of this, are you lying to me about how I'm supposed to treat the boss? But it was this understanding that there was a value system, and what he would do is when things got damaged, he would put too high of a price on it, and it wouldn't go. It wouldn't sell. And so he wouldn't value it properly. So they said, this is your job. He knows your job. We've been over this with him. He just will never agree with it. So just do what you've been assigned to do. Do you know the value of God will lead you to put different values on different things? It will change things. And so it's that idea of shopping and doing inventory. One of the other ways we do this time of year as we come towards it, I'm believing spring is coming. All right, I'm just holding out for that. And we do spring cleaning. And when you do spring cleaning, one of the things you do sometimes is you go to your closet and you go through stuff. Isn't that right? And it's always challenging if a woman's going through a man's closet. Now, why are you guys laughing already? I haven't said nothing. Okay, so you got your own guilty conscience here, I'm just saying. But you've got a shirt that you're perfectly comfortable with, and it does the job that you want it to do. And some of you ladies have already decided, that's getting laid aside. That's getting laid aside. You know what? Well, see, there's a fray on that collar. That does not bother me that there's a fray on that collar. I'm fine with that, right? There's things that you're fine with that Christ isn't fine with. And it needs to get laid aside. You're okay with it. It doesn't bother you. It may bother your wife. It doesn't bother you. In fact, that can be true in the Christian faith too. There's things you say, hey, I'm fine with it. Well, say, this is hurting me. You need to listen to those around you. That's part of this relationship of being connected, that you would reveal the life of God to each other. He says, you will get rid of some past practices by faith. See, this again, this is not, you set up these rules. That's what a lot of religions and even churches have tried to do, set up these rules. Rules don't work for making people godly. Did anybody hear me? Rules don't work. Jesus gave us in the Word 10 perfect rules, didn't he? If we'd have followed those, we'd been doing good. But guess what? It didn't work, because rules don't give you power to change. Only Christ does that. And so you learn Christ, and that trusting Christ will transform your life. It's not the rule that you come up with. All right? It says, I want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I want you to have the Spirit renew your mind. I want you to have a mind that's not just physically wired, but it's spiritually wired. And for me to do that, I have to be in the Word. That's where I get my renewing. I use scripture memory, okay? I don't memorize as well as I used to, but I'm still in there because I want it to be in here, all right? I heard one of our small groups memorizes the verse of the month. We put a verse in the bulletin for the month. They're memorizing the verse of the month together. That's a fun thing to do. Encourage each other in your small groups. Hey, are we going to learn some truth together? Will we renew our mind? You could pick a different verse. That doesn't matter. But you pick something and say, hey, let's renew my mind to this truth that I'll make a better choice, because it's your beliefs that motivate your behavior. It really is. So that's what we're saying. If my behavior is not matching up, it means there's something wrong with my beliefs back here. Okay? So a renewed mind will result in a new walk. Okay? So if I begin to think differently about this, it will change. Outbursts of anger, for whatever reason, didn't used to bother me very much. I don't know why I was blind to it. It was something I just had accepted in myself. And yet, the Word of God says, outbursts of anger are what? Flesh. It's flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5. And it's foolish, according to Proverbs. There's a whole bunch about that. But it was interesting. When I renewed my mind to what the Bible says about that, and I renewed my mind to what the Bible says about my wife, Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, live happily with the woman you love all the fleeting days of your life, for the wife God gives you is your best reward down here for all your earthly toil. Amen. That verse meditated inside of my mind, began to say, am I treating her like the treasure that she is? And it changed the way I treated her. Okay. Did I know that before? Yes, I did. Was I renewed to it? No, I wasn't. Am I making any sense here? That you can know things and still not be renewed to those things. And so I have to keep this process going. And so he's saying here, he says, hey, when you learn Christ, you're going to renew this in the spirit of your mind, and you will what? You will put on the new self. Why? Because you'll think what you need to do because of the Spirit in you. That's how it comes out that way. All right, and the Spirit will say no to the flesh. A lot of you are trying to say no to flesh with flesh. It does not work very well. You know, counting calories has done marvelous for you on your diets, hasn't it? About a 95% failure rate. Why is that? Because you're trying to control flesh with flesh. But if you will renew your mind to think of what's true about food, think of what's true about you, think of what's true about your purpose, you can change how you eat. But most people just want to weigh less. They don't want to eat less or exercise more. That's stuff that comes from a renewed mind. Okay, so we have to make choices there. I don't know where that came from, but it's free for somebody, okay? That's just, it's out there. So how do we renew our mind? Look what it says here in Romans 12. Romans 12. Read this with me. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Okay, that's a really cool concept. That you giving yourself to God is worship. When you give yourself to God to sing, we say that's worship. But I'm here to say when you give yourself to God to obey, that's worship. When you say nice things to your children, when you teach them the way that's right, when you even tell them no, that's worship. You're doing what God put you on the planet to do. See, that values the person who put you there. Now, singing is great, but friends, if you don't obey what you sing, it's not worship. All right? So he says that's your spiritual service of worship, that you would present yourself to God. If you've never given yourself to God, by all means, do so. That's the present. You give yourself to God. And then he says what? Here's how you stay in the gift. Here's how you walk out the presentation. Read it with me. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So he says, don't be like this world. You'll be transformed. Why? By renewing your mind. That you change the way you think. You put a different value on it. As soon as you had a child, your mind changed, didn't it? Oh, it changed about so many things that you were so confident about your friends that had kids before you had a child. You knew how this was going to work. Oh, my. The experience renewed your mind, isn't that right? But you're in that spot where you have to keep renewing your mind to make the right choices, that you don't give up, that you don't despair, that you say, this is what God told me to do. He will bring a reward. He will bring fruit from this. You invest yourself. Friends, there's truths that you can say to yourself that come from the Word of God that will keep you walking well. I'm a child of God. The Spirit of God lives in me. I am a new creation. I've been born again. There is no condemnation to those who walk in Christ Jesus. And there's all these promises, these declarations that you renew your mind to, that it'll change the way you act. And so you put on that new self. Some of you just waiting for this part of the illustration. Because when you lay that aside, you get to go shopping. You get to go shopping. You come back to the Word of God. See, it's not just, hey, stop this, stop this, stop this. That's the way a lot of people think Christianity is. Don't. If not doing sin was what made you a good Christian, then cemeteries are filled with good Christians. Because they're not sinning at all. No, it's what you do for Christ that brings honor to Christ. And so it is what you put on of his character that allows Christ to be displayed through you. And you ladies even know this stuff. It boggles men's minds. But, you know, this color makes me look better, and this color does not. And this is this. And you know all this stuff. And you know how to dress to what? To look well. Do it spiritually. Go shopping spiritually. Get into that word and let that renew your heart to speak what he wants spoken, to do what he wants done. Walking with Christ leads to a renewed mind and a righteous life. This is what happens when you walk with him. You'll think different. You'll walk different. It's the plan that he has for you. So it really comes down to basically two things today. Put off the old. Some of you got tennis shoes look just like that. They need to go away. Okay? You know? There's stuff that he's talked to you about today that you know needs to go away. I didn't even start any sin list today, hardly, okay? But there's stuff that he's already brought to your mind. You say, I don't know how he brought that up. Well, that's his job. He is the Holy Spirit. He brings something to your mind. He said, that needs to be put off. What else do you need to do? You need to put on what's new. Put on what's new. We're going to talk about at least four of those new things next week, Lord willing. Hope you'll be back for that. But right now, I want you to learn Christ, and he will transform you. Let's pray. Lord,